And let us turn in God's Word to Luke chapter 6. I want to begin reading a little bit before our scripture reading was listed there. Beginning there at, I would say, verse 17 and reading through verse 38 of the chapter here. So Luke chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 17. We call what we read in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount. Some people call this the Sermon on the Plain. It has very similar things, and yet they're changed a little bit. What we perhaps understand is Jesus taught kind of the same message a lot of times. It doesn't mean some people say, well, obviously it's the same time in history. We don't know that. And I would argue that we have Jesus teaching the same message in a little different place, but we have to realize that the message is the same, and the message of Christ was the same very much, that we need to not look to the old ways of the Israelites and their ideas, but we need to look to what God's Word says, and how then do we live in His world, because we are, as the Bible says, the sheep of His pasture. So let us hear together God's Word, Luke chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward in heaven is great. For in like manner their fathers did the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Excuse me. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, I thought about what do we consider on a New Year's sermon. And there are many things to consider as we begin a new year. People write up resolutions. People think about what do I want to change about myself. And we live in a culture which is very divided. And people who are on opposite sides of the political aisle treat each other like enemies. And brothers and sisters, we as Christians are called to love even our enemies, those who are much more than just political enemies, if you will, those who truly hate us. And we have to realize that the devil, the world, fight against us, fight against God's gospel with all of their power. But we need to realize that we are called in this world to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. We live in a culture which says do good only to those who do better to you. Do good only to those who help you. And Jesus says quite the opposite. Love those who hate you. And that's a very hard thing. And yet, it is what our world needs. Our world needs the love of God. It needs the gospel. It needs the good news. But sadly, we as the church have gotten caught up in the ways of the world. And we join in with them in anger and frustration. And certainly there ought to be levels of frustration when things are broken that were good and things are torn apart that were right. Yet, God doesn't say, well, when you're frustrated, then it's okay to hate. He calls us to love. Even as God has loved us. Notice, if you love your enemies, verse 35, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in reward. Your reward will be great. And notice what it says, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Well, when we hear those words, we're looking out, right? Guess what? Who has God been most kind to? Us, believers. He has given us life. He has given us salvation. God has been good to us. And we need to realize that God has saved sinners. We were God's enemies. In Satan's temptation, when Adam and Eve fell, they had chosen Satan's side. And yet God has purchased us. God has bought us back from the judgment which we deserve. And so we are called to love our enemies. Jesus calls believers to love their enemies even as God has loved us, even as God has loved them. In verses 27 and 28 and verse 32, we're called to love your enemies. Verses 29 and 33, we're called to do good to those who hurt us. Verses 30 and 34, to give to those who ask. And in verses 31 as well as 35 and 36, to treat others as you would desire to be treated. To love our enemies. Now, we read the Ten Commandments. And we were told as we consider the Ten Commandments that the Ten Commandments show us how to love. We do not want to be just mechanical about it, but brothers and sisters, we are called to do good to those who are our enemies, who hate us. Paul writes in Romans 12, 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And he goes on to say, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, those coals of fire might change his heart by the power of God's Holy Spirit. To do good. What is love? Love is not being self-centered. Love is being other-centered, caring for other people. More than myself. More than my desires. And we're called to love those who are our enemies, those who seek our hurt. And when people do evil to us, I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. We're to do good. To do what is right, what is beautiful. Now we may or may not be in the right. But sometimes care for our adversary is more important than getting what is our due. To love, to do good to those who hate us. We have to realize that God uses that to change hearts, to change lives. He goes on to say, verse 28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To bless, to pray God's blessing upon them. To desire their good. Even when they do the exact opposite, when they bring cursing. Those who desire evil against us are hurt. When we're being used, spitefully used in an evil manner. Think about Stephen being a witness to those. Pray for them. We read in Acts 7, verse 60, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was being stoned for bringing the gospel, to bring a prayer of blessing, even as they are killing him. And we as Christians love in spite of the hate. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. What credit is it to us if we love those who love us, who do good to us? That's normal. But as Christians, we're following a different pattern. We're not following the pattern of this world that says, love those who love you, but God says, love those who hate us. God loved us in giving his Son for us, his enemies. We're called to love our enemies even as God has loved us, remember. And to do good to those who hurt us, those who actually hurt us, not just those who are on the outside thinking and desiring, but those who actually harm us. Whether it be physical or financial or so many other ways. Peter writes, 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this that you may inherit a blessing. We were called to this. We're called as Christians. Jesus said, don't be surprised if they persecute you. If they hated the master, how much more will they hate his disciples? Don't be surprised when the world hates us, when the world fights against us as his church. Don't be. We live among people that are so surprised. Even the churches around us are surprised when people don't like it, when we speak the truth. They hate it. They'll come up with anything to push it down. But God's word is true. The answers of God's word are what is reality. So many people don't want to think about reality, don't want to deal with things as they truly are, because it means I can't live the way I want to live. We need to live the way God calls us to live, not according to our own ideas. There's those who use legal means. Think about verse 29. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. There are people who use legal means to bring about evil. Believe me, the court system in our country is so backwards and upside down, they easily do this. I sat in Chicago in the middle of a court case with our condo association, and the judge said flat out to us, I can see that you're right, but you haven't proven it to me. Well, give me a break. But we, brothers and sisters, need to realize that the courts aren't always going to be on our side. But who can we trust? We can trust God. God will take care of his people. And that doesn't always mean it's easy. It doesn't always mean it's going to go smooth sailing. But we do trust that God will care for us on this earth, and we can be certain that He has provided for us eternal life. Matthew 5:40, in the midst of this same sermon, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And that's the background, or the idea of what's going on here. This doesn't just talk about, hey, somebody stole it, but someone's suing. By the way, we as Christians are called not to go to court against our brothers and sisters. Now, there's times for it. We have to realize that. But matters that need to be taken, that can be taken care of before the church, ought to be there. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:7. Therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? He says, is there not someone in the church who can judge these matters? Why do you go before unbelievers? Now, like I said, there are certain times where it's necessary. But with believers, there are things that should be dealt with, not with the court system, but before Almighty God through His church. And again, misuse. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Even sinners do the same. We are called to do that which is against our normal impulses. Most people, as we've said, do good to those who do good to them. We are called to emulate God, who says, do good to those who hurt us. Love those who hate us. And to give to those who ask. Paul says elsewhere, let them who steal, steal no longer, but rather work that he may have to give to those who are in need. We're called to be generous with the things God has given to us in this world. They're tools. We are to treat the things God has given to us in this world as tools. They are tools for the service of Almighty God. We often, as human beings, get worried about the money, the stuff. Well, as tools, you don't bow down before the crescent wrench. You use it to fix the car or the airplane or whatever else is broken at the moment. Because God has given this stuff to us for our usage. And as the old saying, there's not a luggage rack on a hearse. You can't take it with you. We use this stuff on this earth for His glory. And by the way, when we give, God says that He will provide better. We cannot outgive God. And we use this stuff in this world instead of as people on this earth who covet all day long. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. But rather to enjoy the opportunity to give. The righteous gives and does not spare. And giving, not expecting a return on investment. Again, we're not to seek our due. As Christians, we are to emulate God's love for us in that He gave us everything. If we consider all of God's gifts to us, we do not give Him the return that He deserves on what He has given us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:8. As He sends the disciples out, He says, freely you have received, freely give. Be ready. God has freely given us everything we have. Be ready to give. Use the tools, the gifts God has given to us, not to enrich ourselves. We will be enriched when we serve God with them. Not to first of all worry about ourselves, but to worry about God and His glory. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. When we put God in His rightful place, then all of these other things fall into place correctly. And we're called to treat others as we would be treated. Of course, we know that is the golden rule. Except We too often have too high an opinion of ourselves. We think others should treat us a little bit better. But we are called to fulfill God's law in love. As I said, quoting here from Romans 13, 9 and 10, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We love our neighbors, love our enemies. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame and not walked in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We use the stuff that God has given to us, whether it be as minister or as people with different gifts from God, for the glory of God. Manifestation, showing it in thanksgiving that we are thankful to Almighty God for what He has given us. Our reward is not on this earth. He says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. God does give great rewards to those who give, to those who love their enemies, who love. We cannot outgive God. And God may or may not give on this earth. Brothers and sisters, we know that He has provided for us a reward in heaven beyond anything we could ever give on this earth. Our reactions are to be an echo then of God's mercy. Jesus said, Matthew 6:14, for if you love men and their if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. God has forgiven us much. We are to echo that. We are to forgive those who sin against us. We are to live as those who love those who hate us, who do good to those who use us in a spiteful manner, who return good for evil, and know and trust that God is the one who provides for us. God is the one who protects us. We can't protect us, no matter how much we think we can. No matter how much we think the courts, no matter how much we think the politicians, others will protect us. The one who cares for us perfectly is not these people. It's Almighty God. And He can care for us no matter what goes on in this earth. And He has done that throughout our lives, throughout history for His church. And we can expect that He will continue to do that in this new year. And so, brothers and sisters, we're called to love. Love our neighbor. Love our enemies. That's a hard thing to think about. But we need to remember that God is the one who loved us first, while we were yet His enemies, while we were yet sinners. As we said, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. He has been kind to us, to you and I. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, in a year and in a culture that is so full of anger and hatred, that Your church would exhibit love. Love for our neighbor, love for our fellow man, but even love for our enemies, love for those who hate us and do evil against us. We thank You, Lord, that You have loved us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be those who readily use the gifts which You have given to us for the good even of those who hate us. And we pray, Lord, use us then to bring witness to the glory of your holy name, and that others would see our lives in love, in thanksgiving to the God who has given us everything, and that they would be certainly, as you say, that coals of fire would be heaped on their heads, so that they would turn to you as well, that their hearts would be changed. And we pray, Lord, that your gospel would go out through our congregation here, through our lives, through our labors, but not only here, but to the ends of the earth, that your awesome name would be glorified. We pray, Lord, that you would be praised and honored through us, even as we consider that to which our Savior was put, that he was put on a cross, and that he took the penalty of hell in our place for his enemies, to whom he was reconciling, that he reconciled us to himself while we were yet his enemies. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, and we pray, Lord, help us to echo that in our lives, loving truly our enemies. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.